episode 145 of the Anarchist News Podcast, which covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week on anarchistnews.org. It's designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism by email at podcast@anarchistnews.org. For more information and usually some good commentary, see you at your favorite non-sectarian, comment-friendly anarchist site, anarchistnews.org. A warning. These bits are written by two people and read by one of them and a third person. The pronoun I in this podcast is confusing and contradictory. The author may not be dead, but at least here is mighty hard to parse. Have fun. What's new this week? How to live like the world is ending, from Birds Before the Storm. Magpie is so close to being one of my people, and yet not in some important ways. It's disorienting. Anyway, I think this piece is cool and appropriately contradictory. It speaks to the contradictions that we all negotiate every day, right? Also, it's just funny to talk about how the title of a book you've never read is really important to you. Of such quirkinesses are our lives made. This piece talks about four premises to their life. One, act like we're about to die. Two, act like we might not die right away. Three, act like we might have a chance to stop this, whatever this is. And four, act like everything will be okay. Don't we all move between these all the time? Isn't it helpful sometimes to be explicit about these usually tacit assumptions? Yeah, I think so too.
Report back, Manchester and Salford Anarchist Book Fair from Anon. A UK Anon gives us the skinny on this book fair, which sounds quite typical. Confusion about the anarchist cred of the presenters, not enough people who have interesting things to say, and the barriers of anti-sociability to overcome as best as possible, at least this one or two days of the year. What? None of that was in the report back? Just me, then. The author appreciated the different space this year, more room and more light, and lists some of the speakers and workshops. Quote, as the day came to an end, I sat in the PHM's cafe and wondered why so few book fairs have a space like this, where you can retreat from the fray and read your new books. Am I meant to wait until I'm home? I spent the last hour sat sulking over a coffee, a slice of toast, and at daggers drawn, unquote. Also, the author is engaged in the thread, and links to some good projects were provided. Thanks, Anon.
Old Habits Die Hard, from Anon. A lovely little critique of Inhabit, which is a document and website put out by some Tycoon-influenced people who have a plan. This is the second piece of Anon-submitted original content to ANews this week, and the collective is feeling all warm and fuzzy about it. Those of you who listen to Anarchy Bang might recall a bit too much of an episode on Inhabit. This written piece is one person's riff on its lacks and weaknesses, full of quirky word usage and new vocabulary words, which some of us appreciate more than others. Quote, power breaks us irreversibly. They see society as a broken machine running on the power of the people's labor. They spring from a habit of digital cybernetic politics and crave a low-tech analog cybernetic politics. They think that the machine can be fixed running on the power of people's labor. This plentiful renewable resource is a dirty fuel and highly unsustainable. People farming for a new tomorrow, time severed from place. There is not a new world to replace this one. Our Earth is dying from life extracted into power, biofuels, and biopolitics. Power breaks us irreversibly. The seduction toward shared power is the death drive, unquote. This Anon also responds in the comment thread. So fun. Hope to hear more from this author.
Jewish Anarchist Convergence, call for workshops and organizers, from It's Going Down, in Chicago, Illinois, April 9th to 12th, or Nissan, 15th to 18th if you're old school, apparently. Quote, this convergence seeks to build relationships, deepen our analysis, challenge our ideas of what Jewish anarchism is, and make Jewish anarchism something that is tangible and undeniably a part of our present moment, not just a fragment of history. We hope that conversations around what it means to be anti-border, anti-fascist, and in solidarity with all migrants and asylum seekers will be a focal point of this convergence, unquote. Again, always looking for good, thoughtful report backs.
The Truth About Cambridge Analytica from Transmetropolitan Review. A really interesting, dual-pronged approach to the problem of surveillance in the modern era through two books, one fictionalized and one biographical, on the development of the tech. When Cambridge Analytica was in the news, my tech friends were all saying that what CA did was bad, but also that everyone was doing it. This does the Transmetropolitan Review thing of making the CA situation special, which serves to dramatize the story, which means that more people might read it, which, depending on how people read, might mean that more people understand the general danger, but also might mean that people think CA was the problem, since it's always tempting to scapegoat a single bad actor. Anyway, I'm somewhat put off by the emphasis on truth-telling in this piece, as if truth is simple and will save us, but perhaps that's a stylistic choice and maybe just indicates that there's something wrong with me. The truth about Cambridge Analytica take two. We're speaking so many truths today. I honestly don't know anything about this project, but they seem to be turning out the hits lately in terms of content. This is a long, very long form essay looking at the Cambridge Analytica scandal as told by the whistleblower Christopher Wiley, and a fictional parallel written by the anonymous anarchist collective known as Alba Rocha. The amount of detail this piece goes into is pretty impressive, and if you, like me, only have a hazy recollection of what things like Palantir, X-Keyscore, Prism, etc. are, this is definitely a good and shocking reminder of the way that the vast amounts of data we give up voluntarily are becoming more manageable for those interested in managing it. Unfortunately, this shock value also works to mask, initially, the kind of self-righteous, speaking truth to power feeling that pops up in most whistleblower stories. Which is kind of funny when what's ultimately come out of this story is targeted advertising, which most people already know and will continue not caring about, with a threatening but vague, "What could the government do with it?" thrown in. This piece also does some weird propping up of mainstream narratives around fake news, playing into concerns about Russian meddling in the 2016 election. We're supposed to care about that? Claiming that Cambridge Analytica created the alt-right and neo-reaction, which are not the same thing, and making it seem like the ultimate anarchist goal is to gather all the facts and create a, quote, world of truth, unquote. I'm not sure my anarchy is looking for that.
Report by anarchists on the revolt in Chile from AMW English. Similar to a report last week, this is a daily list of highlights of activity and resistance and a tiny bit about the economic and geopolitical context. Quote, who would have said it goes 50 days? Some predicted that the social revolt was dying slowly, but the government, in complicity with the parliament, threatened with the pains of hell those who continue to protest. That triggered the opposite effect, and people returned to the street. And they came back with the rage of those who know that in this fight you cannot trust political parties and you only have yourself, and that you also join us and be one of us, unquote.
Call out for submissions for new journal Identity is Crisis, DNO Distro. From Anon, a.k.a. Flowerbomb, a.k.a. Warzone People, etc. Pardon me if I go way too far down the wordplay slash Freudian slip track, but this phrasing is hysterical to me. Call out for submissions? No one seems to have picked up on this, but call for submissions is what is normally said, and these days we're all a little too familiar with what call out now means. So, call out for submissions gets a whole other flavor, and this wordplay gets a bit more depth since the topic is identity, and so much of talking about identity has to do with gatekeeping and resentment and submitting to other people's definitions and experiences. Okay, I guess I'm done now. But just saying. This sounds like an ambitious and interesting project that is fully aware of and trying to talk about the mutually exclusive, or at least deeply contradictory, realities of identity, or at least how we talk about it and them, today. Quote, the fact that identities are social constructs doesn't mean they don't need to be recognized and then destroyed. One cannot hope to destroy an enemy which one refuses to accept even exists. That's A-C-C-E-P-T. Ugh. When one declares war on society, one accepts the existence of society. Our war on identity is inseparable from our war on society, from the war on civilization. But this takes understanding, recognition, and sometimes organization based around those very identities, unquote. While I don't necessarily want to know these folks in real life, they are taking on a big, heavy, engaging topic, so good luck to them. And to us, as potential readers, I guess. Also, most of the comment thread is pretty good.
The Uses of a Lost Continent, from the Libertarian Labyrinth. Sean continues here about his process and thinking behind the book that he's writing. Per usual, a combination of personal reflection, philosophical musing, political knowledge, historical grounding, and good faith that is rare and valuable. Quote, the currently half-completed outline I've been providing here, likening anarchist history to a complex river system and elaborating at least some of that system's dynamics at the outset, is an attempt to answer the challenge of this first objection. If we can describe anarchist history, or the anarchist tradition, as if we're describing known, naturally occurring systems, then it becomes harder to deny that, behind whatever real confusions might remain in our understanding of things, there probably is some more or less coherent object that might be analyzed, and some useful subjects for narrative exposition. We can describe a river or riverine system, provided we understand the demands of the task and follow through, engaging all the complexities. So why is the answer to the challenge of anarchist history not an engagement of roughly the same sort and seriousness, unquote? Also, this extended metaphor of terrain to explain these phenomena totally works great.
A New Call of the Wild from Ill Will Editions by Frederick Nayrott. The subtitle, For a Political Ecology of the Unconstructible, makes this sound like it's going to be much more ambitious than this little writing actually is. Quote, contrary to those who fantasize about extraterrestriality, our motto seems to be obvious. Return to Earth! Instead of having our heads in the stars, let us have our feet on the ground, and let us recognize that we are beings who, fundamentally, belong to a territory. Unquote. With a minor caveat about the extreme right, which seeks to defend territories also, this promotes territoriality and wildness and decries the Anthropocene economy. So it includes some fine coinages, like that last one, but there's not much new here. Quote, far from being oriented towards progress in the future, the unconstructible dimension is the affirmation in the present of what is elusive in our lives, the affirmation of an unknown distance at the very heart of our bonds. It is in the name of this unconstructibility, of this bottomless obscurity from which every free act springs, that a political ecology can refuse everything that makes our lives impossible. Unquote. This piece would fit in perfectly fine with Kevin Tucker et al. It seems to make the same assumptions and elisions. Your call about whether that's good or not. Oh, and a shout out to Leuterhard, whose little joke in the comments didn't get as much love as it deserved.
A Global Anarchy Revival Could Outdo the 1960s, from Bloomberg Opinion by Pankaj Mishra. A brief explanation for normies about what is good about anarchism and how protests these days are A, similar to what was happening in France in 68, and B, will become more common in the face of misbehaving states. Very sympathetic to anarchists. Mishra has at least one book that sounds interesting too. Quote, negotiations and compromise between different pressure groups and interests that have defined political society for ages suddenly seem quaint. Old-style political parties and movements are in disarray. Societies more polarized than ever before, and the young have never faced a more uncertain future. As angry, leaderless individuals revolt against increasingly authoritarian states and bureaucracies from Santiago to New Delhi, anarchist politics seems an idea whose time has come. This column does not necessarily reflect the opinion of the editorial board or Bloomberg LP and its owners, unquote. Ha! You know that last bit is a good sign.
Hell yeah. Anarchists burn down the Christmas tree, from and on. The video is 2 minutes long. Quote, as an obvious result of evictions, etc. At about 2200 yesterday, 18 December, approximately 200 anarchists held a sudden demo around Ermau Street, the most commercial street of Athens, and proceeded to attack several shops and banks near the main square of Syntagma. At about the same time, several miles away, the Christmas tree at Exarchia Square was set on fire. While the Greek government has proclaimed that more than 20 squats, just in Athens, will be violently evicted around the end of 2019, the police attacks seem like the match that will put a fire to an already explosive situation during Christmas and New Year's festivities. Unquote. Clearly identifying the tactics of the new Greek regime, which is intentionally poking Greek anarchists to get fired up, so to speak. This is not a piece on strategy, but it would segue nicely into one. What are the ramifications of why and how the Greek state is picking this fight?
Angry Horrors Anarcho Brigade Action Against SWERF / TERF NGO Offices from Anarchists Worldwide. An action against a non-profit that's supposed to be helping sex workers. Apparently Project Respect is another middle-class charity set up to get money in the name of helping those poor people over there. As a little background from another article on mainstream site, quote, in the past, sex workers have protested against Project Respect in Australia, specifically because of its treatment of sex workers. More specifically, they've advocated against the project's policies and its support of the Swedish model of sex work, which criminalizes consensual sexual activity and perpetuates the idea that sex work is immoral and criminal. Unquote. From this article, quote, we undertook this action as we recognize that stigma towards sex workers is in itself a form of violence. Stigma and whorephobia perpetrated by radfems such as Project Disrespect is why we are subject to shitty policies surrounding the ways we can legitimately work without further criminalization. Why we are relegated to being viewed as either hapless victims in need of saving, brainless sluts who operate exclusively as wet holes, or conniving gold diggers, and why systemic violence against us is both underreported by our community and normalized within mainstream society. These narratives leave no space for our voices and the nuances of our vastly disparate experiences as sex workers of all genders, unquote. People having to fight the organizations that get money for nominally supporting them is of course an ongoing fight. Some of the best feminist theory I've ever read has come from sex workers, more power to them.
Never mind the ballots, create the resistance, from A. Infos. They do protest too much? An article from the British Anarchist Communist Group, citing a pox on both slash all your houses, neither pessimistic nor rosy-colored glasses wearing B, but listen to us talk about electoral politics for days. Quote, the new Johnson administration seems powerful and now deeply entrenched, but remember the British ruling class is divided like never before. On one haid, we have social democratic nationalists like Plaid Cymru and the SNP looking toward exit from the United Kingdom, increasing problems in Northern Ireland, and a Conservative Party seriously damaged by Brexit. As well as this, there are continuing problems for the monarchy, a cornerstone of the system. Not only has Labourite social democracy been hit below the waterline, but the project by factions within the ruling class to construct a new centrist party made up of the Lib Dems, One Nation Tories, and the Labour Right and Centre has ended up wrecked on the reefs. In this scenario, we should look toward developing a response in the sphere as mentioned above. This will not be an easy fix, but will require determined action and propaganda over the coming months and years, unquote. Determined action and propaganda for the win. That's my next t-shirt, right?
Sabotage at Vinnie Green Youth Prison by Echo Anarchist Vandals FAIIRF from Anarchist Worldwide. Quote, back again! We paid another visit to Vinnie Green Secure Unit, aka Youth Prison, on the outskirts of Bristol. We sabotaged and immobilized four cars belonging to Screws. Vinnie Green was previously attacked in June, unquote. Apparently, a particularly bad youth prison? May they all be attacked.
January 11th, NYC Anarchist Assembly from Anarchists Worldwide. Oh dear. Quote, bullet point. As anarchists, we believe in the abolition of the United States as a political entity. Bullet point. We are actively striving for revolution and not reform, and we will achieve this by any means necessary. Bullet point. The destruction of prisons and prison slavery are an immediate aim, and as such, we root our struggle in the abolitionist tradition. Bullet point. We are against the state and electoralism and for collective commune-based resistance to these mechanisms of control. Bullet point. We actively engage and promote internationalist, anti-capitalist solidarity with revolutionary movements and groups around the world. Please come to our first assembly as we chart a new revolutionary path in the city. Unquote. I am so curious about how they're planning to address espionage. Please check your infiltrators and snitches at the door, officer.
Please come. The Power of Anarchist Analysis from Current Affairs by Nathan Robinson. Well, the second mainstream media piece this week that is sympathetic to the kind of anarchism that I recognize. Quote, importantly though, Goldman's disillusionment did not lead her to become a conservative anti-communist. She remained a revolutionary socialist because she had a vision of socialism that was both anti-capitalist and anti-authoritarian. I often think that anarchism's slogan should be, actually, both of those things are bad, because of its commitment to rejecting false dichotomies and declining to join one camp or the other, unquote. Then, of course, he has to go and ruin it with some of Chomsky's weak sauce. And yeah, the author's not an anarchist. An anarchist looks at bureaucracy and asks if the regulation really needs to be 800 pages long? What? Come on, dude. This piece brings to mind the two directions that normies attack anarchists from, one that were too violent and crazy, and the other that were super helpful and can really make the existing society better. What do we say to that? All together now.
Actually, both of those things are bad. Audio and video. Elephant in the Room, interview with the Anarchist Union. An hour and 6 minutes from Anarchists Worldwide. What, from the intro, appears to be an English-language anarchist podcast from Germany, Elephant in the Room is very much broad strokes anarcho-reporting. This episode features the reading of some letters from Iranian labor activists sentenced to heavy jail time, followed by an interview with the English translator of the Anarchist Union of Afghanistan and Iraq, a group that is never really mentioned during the interview. What initially piqued my interest about this episode was the chance to hear what anarchists are doing and thinking in Iran, a place that looms as a black hole in my very limited knowledge of the world. But all we really learned from the guest is that they are there, and supposedly they are growing.
Soulcast, a conversation about Desert with Alfredo of Occupied Southwest Distro. An hour and 40 minutes from the motherfucking Soulcast! Almost 2 hours of Soul talking with Alfredo from Occupied Southwest Distro of ice cream truck and trolling John Zerzan fame. I'm torn between kind of liking and definitely hating this episode. On the like side, I enjoy that the host and guest are working through applying Desert to the way they viewed themselves and anarchism in the past, as well as how they'd like to change their future activity. On the hate side, I dislike very much the conclusions they come to from their reading, particularly around the sense of agency they take from Desert. It's been a while since I've read the book, but a lot of what I took from it was humility, in terms of what the future will look like and in terms of what we can do about it. In that vein, I don't think we, being anarchists or anyone really, can, quote, grasp the environment around us and turn it into anything we want, unquote. Nor do I think Desert says we should just, quote-unquote, organize locally instead of globally. Oh, what is a more interesting concept to me is thinking through how my life and relations change when the place of humans, and even more so anarchists, are put into the framework of being a very small part of what influences the future.
Topic of the week. The year past, the year ahead. A quick glance back and some wild eyes toward the future. As 2019 comes to a close, let's take a look back at the ongoing social upheavals worldwide, the inspiring international anarchist actions, some books that have kept you up till the early hours, and the music that has been the soundtrack to it all. How was your 2019? What were your favorite anarchist actions and communiques from the year? What made them stand out? Which social uprising that anarchists are partaking in has the most potential to change everything? Is there a looming specter of social chaos that anarchists can prepare for? In media, what are the anarchist and not anarchist books you think that anarchists need to be adding to their reading list? Can you share a quick blurb of what made the book important to you? How about music? And please, at risk of creating a comment thread of lonely YouTube links, add some actual sentiment that others may like to hear about what makes this artist/song so wonderful. Here at A-News, we're glad you made it through 2019 with us, and best wishes to you and friends for a tumultuous 2020. See ya next decade in the streets.
The ending kind of cracks me up because, the collective, the body that runs A-News, doesn't have that kind of voice. So the idea that there is someone in the collective who's sort of using that friendly, like see you on the streets. I don't know. That kind of cracks me up. If I were going to sort of go through this as in a checklist sort of way, I would say that I really wish there were better content coming from Chile because Crime Think just doesn't cut it. You know, because of the lack of criticism just makes me feel like it's people with rose-colored glasses sort of only telling us the good news. I would love to hear more of a context of Chile and what the social struggle that's happened there has meant to the people around. There's been other, quote-unquote, on-the-street struggles in South America that I'd also love to know more about. You know, obviously there was a coup.
Mm-hmm.
There's just sort of like I respect the truly international effort of Crime Think.
Yeah.
I wish other people, I just wish it were better, you know, more towards my reading interests rather than strugglismo.
Well, and I also think that, like, actually, the thing that Crime Think is trying to do is not an easy thing.
Yeah, totally.
And the way that it is better is just there being more people involved in trying to more different people. Like, it just has to come from many places and many minds and many hands. And of course, it's a hard thing to do. So there's not a lot of people trying to do it.
I mean, they've done it the right way, which is they clearly have some strong connections in a couple places, and they just work the hell out of those connections when something happens.
Yep.
And that means that these people are experienced writers, they're talented. Yep. And they have been friends, you know, with the Crime Think editorial group for a long, long time. And all of that, you know, is why their stuff is as good as it is.
Right.
But it is one dimensional in the fact that it's always strugglismo. It always ends up having this tone of like we're there. They're in our heart. You know, it always sort of has this just rosy eyed worldview, and so I can't do anything about it. I'm not going to complain more than I just did, but if wishes were fishes. I have not been overly interested in Hong Kong, and I trust the anti-state commies more than I trust anyone from the U.S. side of things. There's this anti-state commie group that has now done three journals, I think, called Chung or something like that. They've done some good stuff, big, long articles. You can probably find it on social media. I believe it's spelled C-H-A-U-N-G. So that's the stuff that sort of has been the best of the reporting analysis from our world or from near our world. And of course, you know, like the visuals of Hong Kong, I mean, are undeniably interesting and awesome. And again, I just have no idea what the hell is going on. I think this is sort of a topic of like a big long essay or something, but you know, I've always been suspicious of leftists that love international politics. And you know, this is from very, very long ago when more or less the people who I would was learning from were like old stodgy Marxists. I always hated those people and their focus on Israel and their particular jaundiced eye towards international stuff. But on the flip side, you know, the anarchist enthusiasm for all struggles the same, and if it's happening there, then we should somehow do something, which more or less just looks like very weak sauce protest stuff, either in San Francisco or in New York City, mm-hmm. You know, where people do some sort of symbolic, like, thing. I don't know. I just feel like it would be nice to have a more broad conversation around what does it mean to do international support on any level.
Sure.
And anyways, again, this is another wishes as fishes thing because, you know, my hesitation has always been that I think activism is stupid. And so it means a lot of stuff that anarchists or many anarchists get very excited about, I just don't get excited about.
Right.
But obviously that's been happening in 2019. We have sort of finally seen the tail off of the 2016 wave of Antifa. You know, it seems like people are really celebrating the victory against Milos Yovanovitch or whatever the fuck his name is. I will say, as someone who's been canceled by the same sort of spirit of pathetic censure, that I don't think that the amount of energy that's been spent on Milos is in any way, shape, or form worth the victory of fully canceling the dummy. And so I guess that's, you know, like in terms of direct action on the ground, you know, it's just hard for me to not say out loud the fact that, like, some anarchists have taken it as part of their activism to cancel Little Black Cart, the publishing project I'm part of, and it feels really shitty, and it feels so stupid, and more or less I don't think anyone can actually make an argument out loud as to why they're doing it, but we did just get successfully canceled from the last book fair of the year, which was at the Arcata Book Fair, and we decided to not make a big stink about it because it's such a stupid fucking fight. But as a result, you know, we've successfully been canceled, and as a project that feels really shitty.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing, of course, that happened this year was that we, meaning I, tried to do this experiment that was called Anarchy Bang. It was a anarchist call-in talk show, real time. Had a variety of successes. It was sort of a generally successful project.
Yeah, I think so.
We got around, you know, 500 listens a week, which is not bad. But of course, you know, not as big as it could have been, and lack of enthusiasm is sort of why it ended after the year, because I just don't have the energy as a single person to do more projects like this.
Yeah. It's a big thing.
Yeah. In terms of books, I mean, the exciting book that we did this year was this book of poetry by Wolfie. Really, really interesting. And if you're into poetry, this is obviously for you. You can find it at littleblackheart.com. The other projects we did this year that were interesting included a reproduction of Insurrection magazine, which has sort of long been out of print and inaccessible. I think that the politics of it are a bit surprising. They maybe have not aged that well. and obviously we did a variety of smaller, quote unquote, minor projects, many of whom have a gem or two in them. I will give some heads up or some nods in the direction of other people. I have to say, you know, I've always appreciated this author's writing, but the general content and the breadth of it from Metropolitan Review has continued to be very good this year. I mean, obviously these people have always been very soft and cocoon, but that's okay. That's fine. I enjoy the material and that sort of worldview. You know, I don't exactly agree with them, but I really continue to enjoy the writing and the content that came out of Transmetropolitan Review, which is from the Northwest, Northwest of the country. The Inhabit.global website and pamphlet that we have been we've been talking about a little bit at the end of Anarchy Bang, and talking about it in general in our circles, and I'm thankful for the effort, even though I think it's whatever. I have opinions. And then musically, this year has been the year that I have really discovered and fallen in love with this Eco Bjork character named Aurora. And in particular, there's this concert with her in this forest that's like her in Scandinavia with a bunch of white people who are all just like glowing in her direction. But it, but I tend to like that sort of shit.
Yes, you do.
And yeah, so search for like Aurora and concert. And yeah, anyways, check it out. That's definitely been my favorite musical find for the year. But I have yet to really do my big search, which I tend to grab everything that the Pitchfork recommends at the end of the year and at least check it out for a listen before I dump everything or torrent.
That's a good idea. Oh gosh. Okay. So we'll go back to the beginning. I think that I was more interested in what was going on in Hong Kong than you were. It felt, I mean, it was so many people for so long.
I just don't feel like I understand it.
I'm going to say in very large, broad strokes, I understand it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a people who are basically fighting to stay out from under the thumb of one of the most brutal
regime
hegemonies
the
on the planet. I mean, it's just so, you know, tens of thousands of people in the streets for weeks and weeks and weeks, which is a thing I have never witnessed in my life. A thing that, you know, if you discussed, you would say was not possible.
Yeah.
And
but that's actually been demonstrated true by Hong Kong several times over the past 15 years.
Okay.
Like meaning that they have stood up in these ways where you're just like, I can't believe umbrellas against fucking, you know, militarized.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I have found that I don't usually find, let's just as a broad category, call it street action inspiring. I have found that inspiring. I have been rooting for them.
Yeah.
For lack of a better way to say it. I didn't know about Chuang. Yeah. I'm excited about that. Mm-hmm. I reading the mainstream news is unsatisfying.
Yeah, totally shitty.
But it's been it has been great, and
actually,
I'm happy that this is a thing in the world.
I got this piece of information yesterday that I thought was really cool. Which there is this new app called something like AirDrop.
Okay.
It's an Apple-only app that a lot of the street people are using because it allows you to communicate via Bluetooth network rather than cellular network.
Uh-huh.
So it's ostensibly is more private. And as a result, there's basically a sort of discussion happening where you're assuming that where the street action that you're doing with people is not based on affinity or even knowledge of each other. It's just based on being connected by this AirDrop application. And in particular, it's sort of like saying, you know, attack, like defend right flank, like deploy, like it's using pictographs rather than language because really? There's no assumption that everyone shares the same language.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, just the very short blurb uh-huh. I had about it was like just sort of jaw dropping of being a paradigm shift away from
you know,
the anarchist method of this, affinity groups.
Is this because Bluetooth requires proximity? Its range is shorter?
Yeah.
Interesting. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. I hope that they make that work for quite some time. It feels like these things are very frequently usually short-lived before they are.
Yeah, I mean, of course, but the point is that it's a turn on the technology question in an interesting way that should be challenging to those of us who more or less doubt and
mm-hmm.
are.
Yeah.
Books.
I have not read anything particularly political that I found interesting or inspiring. I finally, when we put out Blessed is the Flame, I read the first two-thirds of it and liked it a lot. And then for some whatever reason or shift of something focus in my life, I had to put it down and then kind of forgot about it. Earlier this year, I saw it on the shelf and went, you know what? I don't think I finished that. So I was excited to finish that.
That title continues to be interesting to an awful lot of people.
It's just interesting. Yeah. There are lots of good questions there. Yeah. I was glad that I finished it and feel good about it. And even went back and reread earlier pieces to connect them to conclusions in the end because it had been so long. I am two-thirds of the way through a grand science fiction saga by a Chinese author, Shizhen Liu, the three-body problem.
Yeah.
It's sort of
the most famous of the Chinese science fiction.
And I have read a lot of science fiction in my life, not nearly as much as you, but I find that I'm usually, regardless of how much I like the book or I'm engaged with the book, I'm rarely surprised by science fiction. And one of the things that I've loved about this series is that I'm constantly surprised by it. I found the politics of it, both what is implicit in the book and what I'm walking away with, is interesting. It's just culturally, it's just so different from what I'm used to. And that's been really exciting. I'm
reading a series of books that appears to have been written by someone from Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
And Rosewater, I believe, is the first one. And similarly interesting and sort of awesome and pointing in a direction of science fiction from Africa, which I'm excited about.
I'm most of the way through a book that I am enjoying a lot called Why I Don't Talk to White People About Race Anymore.
I've seen some mention of this book.
I had read an essay a couple of years ago that seems to be the premise for the rest of the book, and it reflects my sentiments, so I thought that I would pick it up. I'm enjoying that a great deal. I'm generally at I'm over at Bring On the Race War place in my life. I've been interested in texts that both share the sentiment but are channeling the anger into an interesting dialogue as opposed to me just being
surly.
Yes, surly. And music-wise, this conversation makes me realize that there actually isn't a lot of music in my life.
Yeah.
2019, like 2018, like 2017 continues to be the years of Kendrick Lamar. And I have been impressed in probably every way possible by Lizzo.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, to, you know, her lyrics are not particularly, but just her presentation, her persona.
She's doing media pretty well right now.
She's doing media pretty well. And I watched a video of her on a morning show, and it's her at the center of like 8 more fat girls in gorgeous, provocative, revealing clothing, being sexy and powerful and beautiful, and it just makes me giggle and so excited, and she's doing it really well, and she's incredibly talented. And then, you know, in the middle of her big rap show, she pulls out her flute. Just, I mean, come on, how do you not like that's for me, that's inspiring, that's awesome. You go, girl. Just, yeah, just, it makes me very, very happy. It's a little unreasonable how happy it makes me.
Well, that was 2019. 2020, yeah. My fear is just going to be entirely absorbed in the political sphere by the election.
Yeah, it's going to be. Yeah, it's going to be all about the election. People are going to wring their hands like it's going to matter. He's going to win, and we're all just going to move on.
Yeah. I basically think that we could just skip the next year.
Yeah, could absolutely just
anarchist politics.
Skip the next year. Yeah, for sure. You know, I keep hoping that there will be some interesting forms of pushback, but, you know, there probably won't be. Yeah. Whereas, you know, the last whatever couple months have been all about the impeachment process, which of course has also been
mind-numbing.
Yes, horrible. And so, but I mean, what's 2020? Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a good, I don't know. It's interesting, as you get older, or at least for me, I feel like everything is a lot, there's a lot more sameness from year to year, and you don't feel like that there are big things coming or so, no, but I guess I generally had as good a year as I could. A Little Black Cart is a really big part of my life, and I'm really sad that I feel like people who don't actually have any interest in us or know anything or any understanding of what my project is or what I'm doing or what's going on have really strong opinions that are incredibly uninformed and are then using those opinions to force a reality that makes me sad. And that I don't seem to be able to do very much about. And nobody actually wants to have a conversation anymore. So that's where we are.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Have a great new year.
This week's podcast was sound edited by Leno Mabel. The What's New was written by Jackie and Greg and read by Chisel and Greg. No editorial this week. We thank Aragorn and Ariel for their help with the topic of the week. To contact us, email us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. To learn more, anarchist and anti-political books, pamphlets, and other material are available at littleblackcart.com. For news by and or about anarchists and up-to-the-minute commentary, see you at anarchistnews.org and or the Anarchist News IRC chat room linked on ANews.